Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Samech Vav. This morning's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Rav David Katz of Katz Judaica. Katz Judaica on 632 Kings Highway in Brooklyn, 718-375-7272. We want to acknowledge that Rav David Katz is the supplier of all our Gemariot art scroll for the Daf HaYomi in our Shi'ur Teskel Mitzvot Katz Judaica. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. We start today at the new Mishnah in the sixth Perek. Perek Elu Devarim. As we mentioned earlier, the Korban Pesach that was brought on the 14th of Nisan is Dohe Shabbat, meaning even if the 14th comes out on Shabbat, the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, which normally would be Asur on Shabbat Shechita, is waived, is overridden, meaning it is permissible on Shabbat. Our Mishnah is going to discuss the different avodot that are permissible on Shabbat and the different services that are forbidden. Basically, the rule is going to be anything that's necessary to do on the Shabbat and you couldn't do it before or after, so then already it's going to be mutar. Any action that you could have prepared from before Shabbat, or there's no need to do it on Shabbat because you could do it Motzei Shabbat, is not going to be Dohe Shabbat. And our Mishnah begins. Elu devarim ba-Pesach dohim et ha-Shabbat. The following items by the Korban Pesach override the Shabbat. Shechitato. That's the first thing, the actual slaughtering. And the Gemara will prove this from Pesukim. Vezerikat damo. The actual sprinkling of the blood. Now, one might ask, what's the problem with sprinkling of the blood? Why shouldn't it be mutar? There's no isun in sprinkling blood. So some say, you're right. The Mishnah just wrote it to tell you the different processes that were done on Korban Pesach. And since you can't sprinkle the blood before, you can't sprinkle the blood after, the deen is you have to sprinkle it right after Shechita, so you have no choice but to do it on Shabbat. Others say that the meat is not permissible until you sprinkle. So therefore it's considered tikkun, which means you're fixing the meat by sprinkling. And the hadush is that, even so, it's permissible on Shabbat. Umihui kerabav. Mihui kerabav is, actually they would... let's say the proper word for mihui would be, we'll get you the right word. Yeah, they're cleaning it actually, the insides of the animal. Right? Nikui b'nei ha-me'ayim. Which means the intestines have perish, they have dirt in them, and they have excrement in them, so you got to clean it out. If you don't clean it out, it's going to become putrid by Motzei Shabbat. So therefore the cleaning out of the intestines, it's called Mihui Kerabav, is permissible. What would be the problem normally in such a thing? So this would be an issue like, let's say, of Borer, where you're separating the bad from the good, and therefore normally it would be Asur. However, it is permissible in such a case. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Baktarat Halabav, obviously the sacrificing of the meat, burning of the meat, of its fats. Aval, tzliyato, the roasting of the Korban Pesach, is not Duhay Shabbat, that's only done after Shabbat. Vadahat kerabav, and that's the rinsing of the kerabav, of the insides, which means there was mihoi kerabav, that's separating the perish from it, the excrement, and then there's actually the rinsing of it, that was not Duhay Shabbat, which means you didn't have to do that until after Shabbat. It wasn't necessary. wouldn't become spoiled if you didn't do the hadaha. Ena duchein et haShabbat. These items are not duchei Shabbat. Now we discuss different items that are only asud rabbanan, but are not duchei Shabbat. Harkavato. Harkavato is actually the transporting of the korban to the azara. You have to carry it there. Even though carrying an animal that's alive would only be isud rabbanan, because of the basic principle of hainoseh tasmo, that a live being carries its own weight, therefore the carrying really is only isud rabbanan. Still, since you can carry it there before Shabbat, the rabbis did not allow you, they not waive their law for you to carry it on Shabbat. Va'ba'ato mechutz tatchum. Or let's say, bringing it from outside the tchum. As we learned in Masechet Erubin, a person is not allowed to travel past a certain distance on Shabbat. This Isud is called Isud Tehumin. Isud Tehumin, according to the deen, is only Isud Rabbanan. And therefore, even such a thing to bring it outside the Tchum is going to bring, or from outside the Tchum is going to be Asud. Bahatichat Yabalto. Sometimes the animal would have, let's say, a Yabelet, a wart, which would render the animal Pasul. But this type of Pasul you can get rid of. You just cut the wart off, and it's Kasher. Now the Hadush is, even though, let's say, you're cutting the wart off in a not normal fashion, kil ahar yad, still, it's Yisud Rabbanan. And therefore the rabbi said that you could have done this before Shabbat. You didn't have to do it on Shabbat. So therefore, en dohin et Shabbat. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, dohin. The Hadush of Rabbi Eliezer says, all these items, they also dohe. Which he holds, Yisud Rabbanan. Even though you could have done it from before the Shabbat, you can do it on the Shabbat itself. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer now gives a logic to his halakha. Ba'alu dinu. Whenever the Gemara says din, it's referring to a kal vachomer. Meaning, it is a kal vachomer. What? Ma'im shechita shi mishum melacha docha et haShabbat elu shen mishum shevut lo yitcho et haShabbat. He says, if shechita, which is a full-fledged melacha, it's one of the 39 melachot, and shechitat Pesach is dochei Shabbat. These items that are only isud rabbanan, go sheken. If you're going to waive a deoraita, the korban Pesach, certainly you waive a rabbanan. Amar de Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua comes along and he refutes this kal vachomer. He says, Yom Tov Yochiyah. I'll disprove you from Yom Tov. How? Shehetiru bo mishum melacha. Yom Tov, it's permissible to do melacha. For example, you're allowed to do shechita on Yom Tov, ve'asur bo mishum shevut. But isud rabbanans are still in effect. You can't do any isud rabbanan on Yom Tov, even though you're allowed to do things that are normally isud, toraita. You can make shechita on Yom Tov, but isud rabbanan you can't do. So just because you see one case that the matir, the oraita doesn't mean matir, a rabbanan. So come, for example, shechita, bishul, that's permissible. But Rashi says it would be forbidden, let's say, to bring an animal outside the tchum, or from outside the tchum. So comes the Gemara, so comes the Mishnah, and says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mazi Yoshua. What are you saying, Yoshua? Ma ra'aya. What kind of proof is that? Ma ra'aya reshut lemitzvah. What are you bringing me a proof from something that's voluntary? Of course on Yom Tov it's not Duhay. Yom Tov, it's voluntary. To go bring an animal outside the tomb, it's no mitzvah to do that. You want to eat. So the deen is, Shechita is Duhay and Rabbanan is not Duhay. But on Korban Pesach, it's all a mitzvah. So therefore, could be for a mitzvah, we're going to be more lenient, and therefore we'll allow even Yisur and Rabbanan that could have been done from before Shabbat. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's contention why Yom Tov is not a refutation to his deen. Heshiv Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva entered the conversation. Rabbi Akiva comes along and retorts, Ve'amar, Hazza'ah Tuchiyah. What do you mean? I will refute you from Hazza'ah. Hazza'ah is the sprinkling of a person that became a Tamemet, contaminated by corpse Tum'ah. The only way he becomes Tahor is that they sprinkle him on the third day and the seventh day with the mixture of the Para Aduma and the spring water. Now, let's say the seventh day of his Tahara falls out on Shabbat. So now Rabbi Akiva says, Hazza'ah Tuchiyah, Shim Mishum Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do Hazza'ah, there's no question about it, to purify the guy. Vim Mishum Shevut. And it's only Isur Drabbanan. Some will say the Isur is going to be Tikkun, which means you're fixing the person. it's only Yisud Rabbanan. And what? Ve'ena duche et Shabbat. And we know that if the seventh day fell out, let's say, on Shabbat, it's not duche Shabbat. And therefore you see what? Even a mitzvah that's only Yisud Rabbanan still is not going to override the Shabbat. So then we'll say the same thing about these items as well. Af ata al tetama al elu. So too on these items, don't be shocked. Sha'af al pishen mishum mitzvah. Even though the transporting of it, the cutting off of the yabelit, the bringing it from outside the tchum, ve'en mishum shevut, the only Yisud Rabbanan lo yitchu et Shabbat. So that was Rabbi Akiva's contention back to the Rabbi Eliezer. Don't tell me mitzvah. I'll show you items that are mitzvah, and only Yisud Rabbanan, and still, not over. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, ve'aleha anidan. He says, that which you say is asur, I also make a kavachomer on that as well to say it's mutar. Which means, you're right. Hazah will also be duha Shabbat. And he says, Uma im shi'ita shi'i mishum melacha duha Shabbat, hazah shi mishum shevut, eno din shi duha Shabbat. But he answers him back, you're right. My kavachomer will also matir hazah as well. And therefore, the chenameh, if the seventh day of the process fell out on Shabbat, according to the Bidi Ezer, mutar to make haza'ah. Just like I can make haza'ah, I could carry the korban and do all the other Yisud Rabbanan as well. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, O hiluf, maybe say the opposite. Which is, you're making kavachomer, I can make the exact opposite kavachomer. How? I could say like this. Ma im haza'ah, shi mishum shevut, ena duchet ha-shabbat, shechita, shi mishum melacha, eno din, shelo tedchei et ha-shabbat. So I go the other way. I could say, if haza'ah, which is only Yisud Rabbanan, and it's not, and it's a mitzvah, and it's not duchei Shabbat, shechitat korban Pesach, which is a mitzvah, kal vachomer, it should not be able to be duchei the Shabbat. So now Rabbi Akiva is taking it the other way. Where did you get to be matir haza'ah? Oh, because you made a kal vachomer from shechita. I go the other way. I'll tell you, on the contrary, haza'ah is asur, and if haza'ah is asur on Shabbat, kal vachomer, that's only Yisud Rabbanan, kal vachomer shechita, which is asur, the chavra deoraita, should be asur as well. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar, comes the Mishnah and says, Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva. He says, Akiva, akarta mash katu batura. So what are you talking about? How are you making such a kal vachomer? You're uprooting what was clearly said in the Torah, b'mo'ado, which means when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the Torah says that you bring the Korban Pesach, v'ya'asu b'nei Yisrael et ha-Pesach b'mo'ado. And what do we learn from the word b'mo'ado? Ben b'chol, ben b'shabbat. How are you making such a kal vachomer? It's clearly a pasuk that says what? It's permissible to bring the Korban Pesach even on Shabbat. So to make a kal vachomer and say, oh, has a sur, a kal vachomer shaita. What do you mean? Shaita is beferush pasuk that it is mutar. Amar lo, Rabbi. So Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Eliezer, tells him, Rabbi, Rabbi, haveli mu'ed la'elu ke mu'ed l'shaita. He says, you're going to bring me a mu'ed for these items that could have been done before Shabbat, like shechita, which means I agree to you. There's a din of b'mo'ado. But what's the pshat? Because you have to do the shechita on your dalet. That's why the Torah waived Isur Shabbat. But are you going to apply the rule of b'mo'ado to elu, to these other things that could have been done before Shabbat? I mean, just because you see that the Torah waived shechita, that's because you have no choice. That's the day you have to do it. So now you're going to come and tell me that just like shechita, the Torah waived, so therefore any items are waived? Which means you can't make a kal vachomer and tell me, oh, if Yisud Oraita, the Torah waived, certainly Yisud Rabbanan. No. These Yisud Rabbanans could have been done from beforehand. And therefore, who told you the Torah is going to waive, the rabbis are going to waive the Rabbanan where it could have been done from before? Which means this, Rabbi Akiva is coming back and saying, exactly, Memo'ado. This says Memo'ado, and this does not say Memo'ado. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva made a klal. Kol melacha she'efsa la'asuta me'erim Shabbat, ena duchayta Shabbat.
Shechita, she'yefshar la'asotam erev Shabbat, yochai to Shabbat. Right? Then Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, listen, here's the klal. Any melacha that could be have been done before the Shabbat does not override the Shabbat. Shechita, however, that could not have been done except on Shabbat, is not going to be doher Shabbat. Now, we should take a minute for a second to understand what was Rabbi Akiva thinking on the top line of the Mishnah, which means Amar lo Rabbi Akiva Ochiluf Ma'im Hazaa Shi Mishum Shavut Eno Dochet Shabbat Shaita Shi Mishum Malacha Eno Din Shlo Dochet Shabbat. When Rabbi Akiva knows the Derasha of B'Mu'ado, he knows that it's Dochet Shaita. So how did he come along and attempt to make a Kal Vachomer the other way to say Hazaa is Asur and therefore Shaita should be Asur? So the Mefashim explained like this. It's clear that Rabbi Akiva knew Korban Pesach Reshechita is Dohe Shabbat. This halakha already was established by Hillel HaNasi, as we're going to see, which was way before Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva also accepted from his rabbis such a halakha as well. Now, he must have had a tradition that Hazaa is not Dohe Shabbat. That's Rabbi Eliezer wanted to come along and say, oh, what do you mean? Very good. Just like Yishe Sud Rabbanan Zah Dohe Shabbat, I'll tell you Hazaa, which is a mitzvah, is also Dohe Shabbat. Rabbi Akiva could not accept that, because Rabbi Akiva had a tradition from his rabbis that Hazaa on the seventh day, which was on Shabbat, is not Dohe Shabbat. And if he's coming to ask, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the following, that if you're right, that you do have a Kal Vachomer from Shechita, and you're going to say, if Shechita is Dohe, Hazaa should be Dohe, then already Adraba, you should make a Kal Vachomer the other way, that just like Hazaa is Asura, Shechita is Asura as well. Obviously you can't make such a Kal Vachomer, because we know that Shechita is permissible. Therefore, you cannot compare Shechita and Hazaa, which means, don't make a Kal Vachomer. Because if you're going to make Kal Vachomer this way, you can make a Kal Vachomer that way. And the way Rabbi Akiva makes that Kal Vachomer, it's not possible to make Kal Vachomer that way. Because we know Hazaa is Asur and Shechita is Mutar. Ella, what do you see? They're not comparable. So therefore, you can't make it my way, you can't make it your way. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. If you're going to go your route, you'd be able to make a Kal Vachomer the reverse way. And since that's a problem to make it that way, obviously, for whatever reason, Hazaa and Shechita cannot be learned from each other. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Right, it was a rhetorical type of Kal Vachomer. Okay, comes the Gemara. Tar Rabbanan. Halakha zu nit'alema mibene betera. This halakha, that Pesach overrides Shabbat, was forgotten by Bene Betera. Who is Bene Betera? Bnei Betera were the Nisi'im. They were the presidents and leaders of the Jewish people in Bavil. They forgot the halakha that Pesach is indeed Dohe Shabbat. Pamachat, one time, Hal Arba Asah Liyot B'Shabbat. So the 14th came out on Shabbat. Now obviously I take it, again make it clearer, obviously, Bnei Betera were the leaders at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, where there was a question if it's permissible or not. So the Gemara says, Shach, I don't think about it, just explaining that this was done in the times of the Mikdash. They forgot a very important halakha. Shachu ve'lo yad'u im Pesach du'ah et Shabbat im lav. They forgot. They didn't know this basic halakha. Do you make Shachita on Shabbat or don't make Shachita on Shabbat? Amru, klum yesh adam sheyodei im Pesach dochei te Shabbat im lav? So they asked, does anybody over here know what the halakha is? Is the Pesach dochei Shabbat or not? Amru lahem, adam echad yesh she'ala mebabil. There's a person that came up from Babel. Bnei Betera were in Yerushalayim, obviously. I said they were in Babel. They had to be in Israel because of the Beit HaMikdash. Vadai, Korban Pesach. They were in Yerushalayim by the Beit HaMikdash. So there was a rabbi that came from Babel. Behelel Babli Shemo. His name is Hillel the Babylonian. Sheshimeh Shene Gedolei Ador. He served the two great rabbis of his generation, Shemaya Vavtalion, And he knows the deen. So now Bnei Betera, they're stuck, they don't know what the halakha is, so then you can call Hillel to ask him, what do you do? Shalchu v'kar'u lo. So they sent him, they called him. Amru lo, kilum ata yodeya im ha-Pesach dochet ha-Shabbat im lav? Are you familiar with the halakha? Do you know if we're allowed to bring this Korban Pesach on Shabbat or not? Amar lahem, v'chi Pesach echad yesh lanu b'shana. So what do you think? You think we only have one Korban Pesach a year? שדוחית השבת, ועלו הרבה יותר מ-200 פסחים יש לנו בשנה שדוחים את השבת. We have more than 200 קורבנות that are like קורבן פסח, that are דוחי שבת. What was he referring to? The קורבן תמיד, which is also a קורבן, that has a set time to it, and it's דוחי שבת. How many שבתות do you have there in the year? Let's say 50. So right away, that's 100, because you have one in the morning, and you have one in the afternoon, and include Musaf, so that's already 200, right, because it's two Korbanot of Musaf, plus you have the Yamim Tovim that fall out on Shabbat, where there's extra Korbanot, so therefore, there's, he says, did this concept you never heard? You never heard of an item that if you have a Korban that has a specific times, with not like a Korban Nedava or things coming any time of the year. Zohar Shabbat, which means there's a model of Korban Pesach over 200 times a year that you see. It's Zohar Shabbat. Amru lo, minayin lecha. Okay, but where do you know this? What's your biblical source for this? Amar lahem neemar moado b'Pesach. It says the word moado in its time. By Pesach, like we said, the pasuk says, "V'yasu b'nei Yisrael at the Pesach b'mo'ado." In its time, v'ne'emar mo'ado b'tamid. By korban tamid, it says, "Tishmeru la'akrib li b'mo'ado." In its time, so the Gemara says, "Ma mo'ado amur b'tamid dochet Shabbat." Just like the mo'ado in its time of korban tamid overrides Shabbat. Af mo'ado amur b'Pesach dochet Shabbat. So too, the mo'ado of Pesach is going to override Shabbat. So they made a Gizra Shava. Mu'ado. Ve'od kavachomeru. And secondly, you have a kavachomer. Uma tamid she'en anosh karet tuchet Shabbat. And what? The korban tamid. That what if you don't bring it? It's not punishable by karet. Pesach. She'anosh karet. Pesach. That is punishable by karet. En odin she'tuchet Shabbat. Isn't it obvious? All the more so it's going to override the Shabbat. Miyad hoshivu berosh. Immediately they abdicated their position, and they put Hillel as the new Nasi of the Jewish people. They saw that he was wiser and he knew more halakha than they did. Then Hillel followed the tradition. The whole day he started to give the halakhot of Pesach. Hithil mekanteran bidvarim. And then he started to needle Bnei Betera verbally. How? Amar lahem, mi garam lachem she'alem mebabel ve'yeh nasi alechem? What caused God to put in my mind that I should come up from Babel and come to move to Eretz Yisrael? Because why did fate have it that I should come from Babel to Eretz Yisrael? Atzlut she'ayta bachem. It's the laziness that you people had. Because you didn't serve the great rabbis of the generation. Which means there was Bitul Torah over here. Bitul Torah comes from laziness. You didn't know the halakot. If you would have learned properly, you wouldn't know these halakot. So God arranged it that I have to come from Babel in order to teach you this very basic halakha that you could have learned from Tachamim. But your laziness didn't allow it. Amru lo. So following that episode, they asked him a question. They asked Hillel a question. Rabbi, shakach velo avi sakin me'erev Shabbat mau. Let's say, the knife for the Korban Pesach, they forgot to bring it from before Shabbat. They have to understand, they had knives in the Beit HaMikdash. But there was so many Korban Pesachs being slaughtered that you needed a lot of knives. So of course the deen would be, lechat techila, bring it before Shabbat. You would bring your knife before Shabbat to the Beit HaMikdash and leave it there. Because any item that can be done before Shabbat, you do before Shabbat. So now they asked him a question. Let's say they forgot the knife from before Shabbat. Now, do we say that's it? He can't bring Korban Pesach? Or do we allow him to bring the knife on Shabbat? And if so, In which fashion? We let him carry it derech regular, or does he do it ayedeh shinui? So this was the question they asked Hillel. Amar lahen, so Hillel said, halakha zu shamarti v'shachachti. He said, I heard this halakha, and I forgot. And the Gemara is going to make a connection between his needling of the rabbis and forgetting this halakha. Ela hanach lehem Yisrael. But you know what? Leave Yisrael. Im enam nevi'imen b'nei nevi'imen. Which is, if they're not prophets, they're the sons of prophets. Which means, he said, lemachar, we'll wait till the next day. Which means, obviously this was Friday when all this happened. Erev Pesach was Shabbat. Yes. So they were discussing, what do we do? What's the deen? Are we allowed to bring the knife? Somebody forgets it. What's the halakha? He says, you know what? You could trust B'nai Israel. We'll look at the people that forget knives. We'll look at what they do. If the Jewish people are not prophets, they're the sons of prophets. Which means they must have a tradition on this, and that will be the halakha. They know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. Now, as a side point, the Tosfot has a question over here. Tosfot says, what are we discussing over here? Carrying a knife and all these business of carrying. We're talking about you're in Yerushalayim over here. Yerushalayim was a walled city. We learned in Masechet Erubin. We said that they used to close the gates at night and the whole city was walled. So what's the issue over here? So Tosfot said, we're talking about a time where the walls became breached. So once the walls became breached, it's right after it was asur to carry. Right, the Tosfot's Lashon is, le'achar shenifritzu ba piratzot. It was after that the walls became breached. Now, le'machar, the next day, mi shepishot tale, someone that was bringing a korban pesach, tale, a sheep, that has a lot of wool, tochavo besamro, they would put the knife in the wool, meaning they would, you know, like run it across, like a comb, they would just stick it through the wool. Misha pishot gedi, whoever was bringing a goat, who doesn't have long hair, tochavo ben keranav, they would place it between the horns, which means they brought a derech shinui. It's not the derech to put to carry like that. So you see what? For a knife, they waved the isur drabanan, which is only isur drabanan because it's carrying derech shinui. And therefore, he saw this is the halakha. Ra'a ma'asev in iskar halakha. Oh, when he saw the action, Hillel remembered the halakha. Ve'amar, kach mekubbelani mipi shemaya ve'avtalion. I have a tradition from Shemaya ve'avtalion, which means that it's permissible al yedeh shinui. So the knife is an exception. They allow the knife to be brought. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Mor. We had a statement. Ne'emar mo'ado b'pesah ve'ne'emar mo'ado b'tamid. That was the Gezerah Shava. Ma mo'ado amur b'tamid duchet ha-shabbat. Af mo'ado amur b'pesah duchet shabbat. So he said, just like the tamid is duchet shabbat, so to pesah is duchet shabbat. The tamid gufe minalan de duchet shabbat. Well, how do you know the tamid itself is duchet shabbat? Il imam mishum dechtiv be'mo'ado. Well, your tamid says the word be'mo'ado in its time. Well, pesach nami haketiv be'mo'ado. Well, pesach also says the word be'mo'ado. Well, obviously you're not learning from the word be'mo'ado, because otherwise you wouldn't need a gezerah shava. You could just learn straight from the word be'mo'ado like you're learning from korban tamid. Ela must be that that's not the source for korban tamid. Ela mo'ado lo mashma'ale. The mo'ado is not the mashma'ot. What is it? Hakana mi mo'ado lo mashma'ale. Just like mo'ado is not mashma' by Pesach, it's also not mashma' by Tamid. And therefore the question then is, where do you know by Korban Tamid that is Duchah Shabbat? Ela amar kera olat Shabbat b'Shabbato al olat Tamid. Which means the Torah is talking about over there Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. And on Shabbat Rosh Chodesh you bring special Korban Musaf. Or for that matter, a regular Shabbat, you also bring a Korban Musaf. Let's take it like that. And the deen is what? Ola Shabbat b'Shabbato. You bring the Korban Ola every Shabbat for Korban Musaf. Al Ola Tatamid. That's besides the Ola Tatamid. So you see clearly what? That Ola Tatamid was also brought on Shabbat. Michlal Ola Tatamid Kereba b'Shabbat. They imply that what? Al Ola Tatamid. Must be they also brought the Korban Tamid. We're talking about Shabbat. Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato. The Korban Musaf is brought weekly, every Shabbat, al Olat Tamid, with, besides the Olat Tamid that was brought as well. Oh, and we know what? That by Korban Tamid it says the word Mo'ado. And we know by Pesach says the word Mado, Hekesh, Ma Ona Duhe Shabbat, A Pesach Duhe Shabbat. Amar Mor. We have a statement. Ve'od Kalvachomer. We also made a Kalvachomer. Uma Tamid She'en Anosh Karet Duhe Shabbat. And what? When it comes to the Korban Tamid, that's not punishable by Karet. It's Duhe Shabbat. Pesach, Sha'anosh Karet, Enodin, Shedochet HaShabbat. You know, we call it Kav HaHomer, as I say. He call it Mefrach. We can refute this Kav HaHomer. Ma'le Tamid Sheken Tadir VeChalil. Tamid has two stringencies over Pesach. Number one, it's Tadir. Tadir meaning it's frequent. Tadir meaning it happens every day. More frequent than Korban Pesach. And maybe that's why it's Duhay Shabbat. Number two, the Korban of Tamid is Ola. The whole thing is burnt up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, an Ola is more stringent than a Korban Pesach that the owners are able to eat. So therefore, what kind of Kavah Omer is this? I'll tell you, maybe because of those two stringencies of Tadir and Kalil, maybe that's why it's Duhay Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Kalvachomer amar lehu beresha. Says you're right. What happens is, which means, what do they say this kalvachomer? What is this kalvachomer is refuted? So the Gemara says, Kalvachomer amar lehu beresha. Originally, they started with this kalvachomer. Uparchua, it became refuted. Ve'adar amar lehu gezerat sheva. Then they gave the gezerat sheva of Moado and Moado. So the Gemara asks, which means, once already you learned the Gezerah Shava, what did you even throw in the Kalvachomer? Which means, a Gezerah Shava, you're not allowed to Doresh it on your own. A Gezerah Shava, you learn it from your rabbi. You need a tradition to be Doresh a Gezerah Shava. Like, Mu'ado, Mu'ado. You need your rabbi to tell you, I heard from my rabbi all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that these two words over here are linked. So obviously, this was known already. So if it was known already, so why did you even have to say the kavahomer from the get-go? Just say gezerat sheva. Which means, you said a kavahomer, the kavahomer was refuted, so then you said, okay, it's a gezerat sheva. Just say the gezerat sheva, that's it, that's the right. Why even mention a superfluous kavahomer? So the Gemara says, Ela lididu, Gemara says that he was talking to the Bnei Betera, which is Hillel. He had a Gezerah Shava. He had no question. But he was talking to Bnei Betera, and he said like this, Bishlama Gezerah Shava lo gamritu. Obviously, if you ask me this question, it's Pesach Dohei Shabbat. Obviously, you have a tradition from your rabbis of this Gezerah Shava. The en adam dan gezerah shava me'atzmo, because the rule is, you know, if you don't have a tradition from your rabbi, the kid says, I have no problem. I'm good. I got the gezerah shava. I'm good. You obviously don't have this tradition, and therefore what? Ela kavachomer da adam dan me'atzmo, but kavachomer is that everybody can deduce on their own. So Hillel was trying to say, you didn't have the gezerah shava, fine, but the kavachomer should have known. So Amru le, so Bnei Betera told Hillel, Kavachomer Kirichahu. What do you mean? That Kavachomer is not old. It's refutable. Why? Because Ola is Tadir and it's Kalil. So therefore this was Hillel telling Bnei Betera the Kavachomer. But you're right. According to Hillel himself, he never needed the Kavachomer because he right away had a tradition on the Gezerah Shabbat. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Mor. We have a statement. The Machar, following day on Shabbat, whoever brought a korban pesa of a sheep, right? They thrusted the knife in the wool. Gedi tochev lo ben karanav. If it was a goat that doesn't have so much hair, they would put it, let's say, between its horns. So the Gemara says, how is this possible? Veha ka'avid avoda bekadashim. These animals were sanctified for Korban Pesach. Wow. Once you sanctify an animal for Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to use it for personal use. They learned that from a pasuk. It says, "Lo ta'avod bibchor." You're not allowed to work the bechor. Bechor is an animal that's sanctified. You have to give it to the kohen. So that you can't work it. And the rabbis learned from Bechor to all animals that are consecrated. Now they're using the animal to transport. Now how can they do that? It's a problem of Me'idah. You're benefiting from the Hekdesh. The Gemara says, Kehillel. Now, they're following the opinion of Hillel, or the tradition of Hillel. That what? The Tanya. Amru alav al Hillel. They said regarding Hillel, Miyamav, Lo ma'al adam be'olato. A person that was bringing an olat to the Beit HaMikdash, he never had a problem, or they never had a problem of mi'ilah. Why? Ela mivi'ah cholin la'azara. Because they would not sanctify it before they brought it. Which means, as they were bringing it, it was still considered a regular animal. And therefore they were able to put stuff on it, they were able to use it. Umakdisha. They brought it up to the Azara, Holin, and then what? Umagdisha. Then they would consecrate it. Then they would make, of course, simicha. Like that, you have to press your hands on the animal. And they would slaughter it. So therefore, we'll say the same thing over here. These people on Shabbat, they brought their animals to Beit HaMikdash. It wasn't sanctified yet as a Korban Pesach. It was just a regular animal. You can do anything you want. You can put the knives on it. You can put things on it. It's not considered using it. Once they got to the Azara, right, they got their knife there ready, then they would say, Harezu Kodesh the Korban Pesach. So they follow the system of Hillel. So the Gemara says, Pesach b'Shabbat, Echi Matzim Magdishle. Hold it. Are you allowed to consecrate something on Shabbat? How do they do that? You're not allowed to do that. Why? That Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. In Makdishin, it is forbidden to make something Hekdesh, right? Consecrated on Shabbat. The in Ma'arichin. Ma'arichin is a person is not allowed to say Erki Alai, which means my value is on me on Shabbat. That is Erkim. The in Maharimin, which means also you cannot. Also, it's a form of consecration of property, for example. You want to put, let's say, an object, a table. You want to say, what? This is going to be qayrim. That's also forbidden on Shabbat. Ve'en magbihim terumah ma'asot. Right? Furthermore, you cannot take terumah on Shabbat, separate, or ma'asot. Kol elu biyom tov amru. By the way, this is all even on yom tov, asur. Kavachomer. The Shabbat, although more so on Shabbat. The reason why they won't say these things because it looks like you're transacting. It's a gezerah. Because you're when you make something like this, it's going from one domain to a different domain. It's going from Hulin to Kodesh. So therefore, it's like a transaction you made. What is a transaction? It goes from the buyer, the seller, and the buyer. They have it's a domain to make a omemkan. So the Gemara is asking. How did you tell me you brought the knife because the animal wasn't Kurdish. Yeah, they walked into the Beit HaMikdash, and when they got to the Beit HaMikdash, they said, there's a Kurdish. It's a surah Shabbat to do such a thing. Kibbara says, Ani mili bechovo che'en kavua lehem zman. When did the Hakamim restrict making something Hekdesh on an obligation that's not bound by time? For example, a guy owes a Korban Nedava. Korban Nedava can be any time you want. Or let's say, he owes a Korban Hattat. Korban Hattat, you bring whatever you want. Therefore, you cannot consecrate it on Shabbat. Aval bechovot shekavua lehem zman. But if you have an obligation that has a time to it, meaning this Korban Pesach has to be brought today. If you don't bring it today, you miss the time. Makdishin. Then already, you are allowed to even be Makdish. So there's no problem. Be'amar Rabbi Yohanan, Makdish Adam et Pesach b'Shabbat. A person is allowed to be Makdish his Pesach on Shabbat. What Shabbat? Shabbat that falls out. And Pesach, so you can be Magdish. The Hagigato be Yom Tov. And let's say on Yom Tov, Pesach, you have to be a Korban Hagigah. You're allowed to consecrate the Hagigah on Yom Tov itself. Now, obviously, it has to be that way. It can never be Pesach on Yom Tov or Hagigah be Shabbat. It cannot be the opposite. Because Pesach can never come out on Yom Tov. Pesach is always ahead of Yom Tov. And Hagigah, even though Shabbat can come out on Yom Tov, is not Duchai Shabbat. You can't bring the Chagigah at all on Shabbat. So therefore, it has to just be spoken out that it's Pesach b'Shabbat. That means Erev Pesach on Shabbat. And Chagigah on Yom Tov, that is not Shabbat. Which means that just, you can bring it on that day. Therefore, the rabbis waived their Isur, and it's permissible to actually consecrate it on that day as well. So the Gemara says, okay, you have another problem. V'alo mechamer. The hamer is you're leading the animal, which means once you have something on its back, right? So there's the isur of mehamer, which means you're not allowed to lead an animal on Shabbat that has a load on it. And therefore this has a knife on its back. So there's the isur of mehamer. They learn it from Pesukim. Okay. So it comes again and says, mehamer kal achal yad. You're not doing mehamer in the normal way. After all, the knife is thrusted in its wool. So therefore, you're leading an animal that's carrying something. Gemara says, "Mechamer kelachal yad nami." Need isura deuraita leka isura medrabanan miyaika. Okay, well, isura medrabanan it is. So how do they allow that? So the Gemara says, "Hainu deka ba'aymine." That was the exact question that Bnei Betera asked Elul. But you now we're crystallizing what their question was, which means they wanted to know if you're going to put the knife in the wall. They thought of that option, so they were saying, but it's going to be Isur Me'amed. So the question is, do we override the Korban Pesach? Does it override the Isur of Me'amed in the case where it's done Bishinui Drabanan? Davar Shiesto Eter Min HaTorah. That you have a davar that is permissible from the Torah, which means like bringing the Korban Pesach, the davar shvut omed lefanav leakero kel achar yad b'kom mitzvah. And you have a shvut, meaning isur drabanan, that needs to be uprooted, meaning as if you don't do the isur shvut, it's going to uproot the Korban Pesach, and this is a case of a mitzvah. So are you allowed to override the Isur Drabanan of the Hamer Kal Achar Yad in the face of doing the Korban Pesach, which is a mitzvah? Mai. Amar lahen alakazu shamati v'shakachti. And Elil said, I heard it, I once learned it, but I forgot. En ani onan Yisrael, wait for Bnei Yisrael, im en nevi'inen, if they're not prophets, b'nei nevi'inen. And therefore, we'll wait till tomorrow and see exactly what they do. And sure enough, the next day they brought it. So therefore, he remembered the halacha. Comes the Gemara now and says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol mityahir." Anybody that becomes arrogant, im hakamu, if he's a hakam, chokmato mistalechet b'menu, his wisdom leaves him, he forgets. Im naviu, if he's a prophet, nevuato mistalechet b'menu, his prophecy leaves him as well. Im hakamu, chokmato mistalechet b'menu, mehilel, from the story over here of Hillel. How? Be'amar mor, hitchil mekanteran bedvarim. Hillel started to needle them, antagonize them a little with words. Ve'kamalu, he said, halachazu shamati v'shakachti. And right after that, they asked him a question, he forgot. So the Gemara wants to say it was the momentary ga'ava that Hillel had that caused them to forget the subsequent halacha. Now, even though, of course, Hillel was mitkaven Hashem Shamayim, Hillel's intention was to give them a musar. What's going on over here? You people are the leaders of Am Yisrael. You have to know this halacha. But still, since there was a tinge of yuhara over here, so it affected his already learning. Which means, the way the Mefashim explained it is that it's not necessarily a punishment, which means even in certain cases where you have to maybe have some have some gava or be a little sharp in order to give musar, it might be sanctioned even. But what? It's a reality. Which means it's like a fire. If you have a fireman that goes into a burning house to save a child, he's definitely doing a mitzvah. He's doing the most noblest of acts. But what happens? He gets burnt. What do you mean he's doing a mitzvah? How could the fire burn him? Fire is fire. It burns even if it's good. So then with the same thing over here, when it comes to these items, even if it's justified, still, there's an after effect. It does burn chokmah from the person's mind. Kol sheken, if it's not justified. In these cases over here, are even you know, you can give a reason why they did what they did. And still, it had an after effect on them. A prophet that has haughtiness, their prophecy leaves them. From Devorah. Devorah was one of the shofetim. She was the shofetet. Dichtiv, Hadelu perazon b'Yisrael, Hadelu, ad shakamti Devorah, shakamti em b'Yisrael. Devorah said in her song, after Bnei Israel defeated their enemies, she sung a song, Shirat Devorah. And in her song she said that my predecessors, who were leading Klal Yisrael, when they were leading Klal Yisrael, Hadelu perazon b'Yisrael. People stopped living in open cities. Why? They were scared. There was no fortress, there was no protection. And people were living in fright. Ad shakamti Devorah. Until I, Devorah, rose. Shakamti em b'Yisrael. A mother rose in Israel, meaning, and I saved the day. She spoke a little disparagingly against our predecessors, and she was giving herself credit. Hachakamti Devorah, until Devorah rose up. And what ends up happening? At that moment, she forgot her prophecy, which is this song that she was singing was actually a nivuah. And then what does it say? Uchtiv, it says the pasuk, Uri Uri Devorah, Uri Uri Debirishir, which means she needed, she would say, Uri, rise, wake up, which means she needed to re-inspire her prophecy. Why? Because at that moment she lost her transmission. Why? Because she said, "Ad shakamti Devorah." So she said, "Uri, Uri, wake up! You know, get back to your previous level."
Yeah.
Why? Because the prophecy was taken away. So you see that gava takes away prophecy. The Shlakish Amar, the Shlakish said. Kol adam shekoes, anybody that gets angry. If he's a hakam, he forgets his wisdom. If he's a prophet, his prophecy leaves him. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the generals of the war. What would happen? The Jewish people were set up by Midian with the daughters of Midian. And the Jewish people subsequently went after the Zanut over there, and there was a great plague of 24,000 Jews that died. As a result, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekom Nikmat Amidyanim, which means go take revenge against the Midyanim for what they did to us. So Moshe Rabbeinu dispatched the soldiers, they went to the war. The whole purpose of the war was to punish them for what they did with the Benot, their daughters. And what happened? The generals brought back the girls to the camp as captives of war. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole reason why we went to the war was to get rid of these. You brought them back. Now, obviously, this would be called a justified anger. This was not an anger of personal. This was a proper justified anger. And what happened? The next pasuk says, "Uchtiv vayomer el Azar haKohen al Shav Sabah beim lemelchama zot chukat haTorah asher shivah Hashem et Moshe." Following that, El Azar got up, the son of Aaron, and he taught the Jewish people the laws of koshering pots, hagala. Because in that war of Midian, they brought back pots.
Yeah.
So the question is, what do you mean? Where's Moshe Rabbeinu? How come Moshe Rabbeinu is not giving the laws? Since when does El Azar give halachot in front of Moshe? Mechlal de Moshe alamine. Must be because Moshe forgot the laws of the koshering of the pots. And therefore El Azar had to give them. Why did Moshe forget? Because he got angry. Now again, we should point out that there's probably not a more justifiable anger. I'll make one point that the Bali Musar said. It was so justifiable because God told Moshe, fight the war of Midian, achar te'asif el amecha. After the war is over, you're going to die. So technically, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they brought back the girls of Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been happy because now he knows the war isn't over, and therefore he still has a, you know, there's a delay over here. And therefore, he's going to live. if Moshe Rabbeinu still got angry, it shows you how L'shem Shamayim he was. Which means he knew that it's his benefit to have these girls back. And still what? It was the wrong thing, and therefore he got angry. So it was a pure L'shem Shamayim without any personal benefit. And still, he forgot his learning. So again, you see the principle of it. It's not necessarily a punishment. It's a mitziut. It's a reality. You put your hand in fire, you get burnt. Im Navihu, if a person is a prophet, Nevuatu mistadeket b'menu me'edisha. Let's review the story of Elisha. Here the story is told of Elisha that was living in the time of the king Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat was the Jewish king, was the king of Yehuda, and Yehoram was the king of Israel. Yehoshaphat was a Sadiq, Yehoram was a Rasha. And they made an alliance to go fight the enemies. And as they went out to fight Yehoshaphat and Yehoram, they got to the field and there was no water for them. There was a drought. So they wanted to get the blessing of the prophet Elisha. So they sent, Yehoram sent a message to Elisha, and Yehoram never respected Elisha. Yehoram was bad. He worshipped Avodah Zarah. So when Yehoram sends a message, they say, no, what's going to be? Are we going to be successful in the war? What's going to be? What, we need water. So Elisha got very upset. You Rasha, now already you're in trouble. Now all of a sudden you come to, why don't you go ask your idols? Why don't you go ask? So Elisha got angry. And then you see in the subsequent Pesukim that Elisha needed to be re-inspired to get prophecy because he lost his transmission. And the Pasuk says, Dichtiv, Lule Pene Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda Niyoseh. Which is, I'm only answering this question because of Yehoshaphat, who's a Sadiq. I wouldn't even look at you. I wouldn't even give you face. Uchtiv, and what happened? And then the Pasuk continues to go on to say, go ask your mother's idolatry and your father's idolatry. Uchtiv, ve'ata kichuli menagen, ve'ayach enagen amnagen, v'ti'ala abiyad Hashem. They had to bring a musician to go start playing music in front of Elisha in order to get him out of his anger, because the anger right away took him out of his mood of simcha, and therefore the prophecy left, so he played some music in order to re-inspire him. So therefore you see again, even a justifiable anger, like in this case of Elisha, his prophecy was removed. Amar Rabbi Mane Bar Patish, Kol Shekoes, anybody that gets angry, even if he's destined to become great, and in Shamayim they decide it's time to become great, Moridin Oto, they lower him, he loses it. Minalan me Eliav. Let's review the story of Eliav. Eliav was the brother of David HaBelech, son of Yishai. Eliav, the Jewish people were at a war against Pelishtim. The leader of Pelishtim was Goliath. Mm-hmm. Goliath was threatening the Jewish people that, you know, why don't you send me your strongest, soldier, and we'll fight it out. And what happened was, David HaMelech, who was a shepherd for his father, all of a sudden went down to the battleground, and he heard Goliath's threat, and then Shaul HaMelech also said, anybody that's going to rise to this occasion, I'll make him wealthy, and he can marry my daughter Michal. So he heard this whole thing there because he was at the battle. Now, normally David was not in the battle. He was a shepherd outside in the field. So when he came down to the battle, Eliab, his brother, got angry at him. What are you doing over here? This is not for you. Go back to the... This is not your job. Go back to be a shepherd. He got angry at his brother. He felt that David HaMelech has no place. He's endangering himself by being over here at the battlefield. Subsequently, we're going to read in the Gemara from the Navi. God tells the prophet Shemuel, go to the family of Yishai and appoint a king. But God did not tell Shemuel which son of Yishai is going to be the worthy of the king. So Shemuel had to figure out himself. So he went, to each son to try to pour the oil on his head. And David HaMelech, God would tell, no, that's not the one. So he finally came to Eliav. And when he came to Eliav, he said, oh, this is the appointed one of Israel. And while he was about to pour the oil, and God told him, no, he's not the one. Why? Because in his heart, this man had anger. Okay. Where did he have anger? That day when he got angry at his brother, David. So you see, Eliav really was supposed to become the king of Israel. See, Shmuel understood that Eliav was the one. But what? Because he got angry, he lost his career of greatness. Now again, that also might have been a somewhat justifiable anger. And as we're going to see, that this anger was obviously very minute. How do we know that? Shmuel HaNavi, who obviously had, you know, prophetic vision, was unable to pick that up. Normally a prophet is able to see right through a person. And here Shmuel stood in front of Eliab and he couldn't pick it up. God had to tell him that there's a trace of anger in there. So you see that even a small amount of anger, that also can cause a person to lose his greatness. That should teach us a lesson as well, how great David HaMelech was. Which means if you see the standard over here to become a great Melech of Israel is very, very meticulous. Even a small infraction, you can lose it. That shows you the level of tzidkut that these righteous people had. So the Gemara says, we read it inside, Me'eliav, Shnei Emar, Vayichar Af Eliav V'David. When David came down to the battlefield, Eliav got angry. Vayomer, Lama Zeh Yaradta? What are you coming down over here? V'almi Natashta Me'ata So Nahena B'Midbar? Who'd you leave the sheep with? Because you're the shepherd of the family. You abandoned the sheep. He says, I know your bad heart and your bad intent. You came to see the action. You came to see the war. When Shmuel went down to the sons of Yishai to anoint them, at each one, when he was about to anoint them, what does God say? Lo, or what did Shmuel say? Lo baze b'harashim. No, this is not the one. He was able to read each one and say, no, this is not the one. No, this is not the one. Ubediav ketiv, vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, al tabit el mar'ehu. God had to tell Shmuel, don't get fooled. Don't look at his external look, vel gova komato, or his, you know, his beauty or his height. Ki me'astihu, which means I despise him. Mechlal da'ava rahim le ada idana, which means God was saying I despise him. Mashma, now I despise him. Mashma, until that point God loved him, which means Eliav was destined to become great, but God says I have despised him. So what? That obviously he lost his faith to greatness. Why? Because of Kahas. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. It should be pointed out, if we could just say one more yesod, that postscript. In Tahara, when people go to the mikveh, the books do bring down that one of the most important kavanot that a person has to have when he's dipping is tikkun ha-ka'as, in order to fix the damage that anger has for the soul. According to some of the books, they said even for one anger, one has to fast 40 days in order to take away its damaging effects. And here you see already the even more than 40. Close to something about like 150 something. In any event, you see over here the damaging effects that it also has on the chokhmah and on the nevuah. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.